Coming up on podcast 1508, Goodwood plays host to a huge array of new electric vehicles. Stick around and I'll tell you what I know. Also on the show today, we're talking about the XPeng P5 in Europe, not so fast. The Mercedes-Benz Vision EQ XX breaking its own crazy efficiency records. And Honda will have a lot of electric vehicles on sale soon, but you can't buy them. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It's Thursday, 23rd of June today. My name is Martin Lee, and it's my job to go through every EV story that I can possibly find and whittle it down to 20 minutes of your life, which means you are bang up to date on everything you need to know from EV world. Let's start with Ford. They've just announced today that they have selected their plant in Spain to build their breakthrough electric vehicles, not just limiting to being made in the Americas, but Ford is gearing up to build more EVs for the local European market. Announcing today they've selected their assembly plant in Valencia in Spain, where they will assemble what they describe as breakthrough electric vehicles and connected vehicles on the next generation EV architecture. What that is, we just don't know yet. Ford says its EV architecture will be a critical component of their all-electric future in Europe. The Valencia plant could begin producing EVs later this decade, they say, in addition to the new EV plant in Spain. Ford is moving forward with a $2 billion investment to retool their German factory in Cologne to begin producing electric passenger vehicles. Ford will make Germany the headquarters of their European EV business and the site of their first electric vehicle production in Germany. According to futurecar.com, Ford's state-of-the-art Cologne Electrification Center starts production in 2023. Staying with Ford, by the way, although we're going to talk a lot about Goodwood today, Goodwood Festival of Speed, where this story has come from, but I've just mentioned Ford, so for neatness, putting it all together, Ford Performance versions of market-leading commercial vehicles have been around a long time, and now they're producing some more bonkers things, including at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, which starts today, the all-new Ford Pro electric supervan. It's their first electric supervan, and it's going to be revealed for the very first time. Well, the new supervan will be on display at their main paddock between when it's doing its hill climb runs. So at Goodwood Festival of Speed, there's the hill climb. There are vehicles on display. There is timed runs. There are famous racing drivers taking classics up the hill. There's Goodwood Revival, which is 16th of September this year, I think. I'll go to that one. And that is classics going racing, whereas Goodwood Festival of Speed is a whole different kind of event. I won't get to go this year for a variety of reasons, one of which is the showbiz reason that our little boy goes to school for the first time in September and I have to be here for our very first parents' evening. He's not even started and they're having parents' evening. So for a variety of reasons, I can't get to Goodwood this year, which is a shame because they have their Electric Avenue feature where all of these vehicles are going to be. Oh, it's going to be like a mecca of electric. I'm gutted I can't be there. If you're going, send me a picture. I'll be looking out on social media for pickies as well. Ford will showcase their supervan, which they say is all about extreme performance. They'll reveal further details about this new all-electric demonstrator nearer the time when they've got some more details to share. The supervan name really goes back about 50 years for Ford, so that's really interesting. Right, let's talk about XPeng and XPeng announcing that they have temporarily paused P5 reservations in four European countries, moving their focus to the P7. That is the big swoopy sedan, the saloon car. The reason? Export timeline issues. This setback regarding the P5 does not affect its long-term strategy, they say, in Europe, or even their intention to establish a foothold in Europe. An XPeng spokesperson telling cnevpost.com. They're shifting to encouraging European customers to look at the P7 instead, which is a beast of a car as well, by the way. I got a quote here, and you know what? It's really refreshing that there's no BS here. It just says, as we're all aware, the global supply chain issues have been impacting the automotive industry for many months. Many auto brands had to adjust their production and delivery timelines and pricing to mitigate these challenges and uncertainty. We expect some of these challenges will persist. Our latest assessment is that the previously indicated delivery time for the P5 may no longer be achievable as a result of these challenges. So rather than making people wait an indefinite amount of time, they've said, well, we'll pause reservations. They launched their European strategy in 2020. Norway was the first stop, and they've since opened direct stores in Sweden, Netherlands, Denmark earlier this year. And of course, some of the Chinese makers like NIO doing exactly the same thing already in Norway, and will be entering Germany, Denmark, Sweden, Netherlands, those same countries, and NIO by the end of this year. Now, let's talk about why EVs are getting more expensive. If you own one, it's getting more expensive on the used car market. If you want a new one, not only are you having to wait a long time, they're also getting more pricey. And that's because raw material costs for electric vehicles more than doubled during the pandemic, according to a new report out yesterday by Alex Partners. It forced automakers from GM to Tesla to startups like Lucid and Rivian to raise prices on vehicles. Average raw material cost for an EV totaled $8,255 per vehicle in May, up 144% from March 2 years ago, led by cobalt, nickel and lithium prices, all essential for the batteries used to power them. EV-specific costs have increased by around $2,000, I think, for the battery for those materials over the past 2 years, says Alex Partners. Ford's CFO John Lawler said last week that rising commodity prices have actually wiped out many of the profits of the Mustang Mach-E. It was profitable when it was launched and designed in 2020, but since then, no longer the case. Let's talk about Mercedes-Benz and the Vision EQXX, breaking its own efficiency record on a brand new trip. Now, if you remember, this is the engineering prototype, if I can call it that, or the vehicle that they are using to exercise some of their engineering prowess at Mercedes-Benz. The EQXX is a work in efficiency. And they did that big 1,000-kilometre drive, and they had loads of range, they had loads of battery left at the end of that 1,000 kilometres. Now, last week I was at a conference, and I didn't get to talk to the chap who was on stage. He was either the project manager for the EQXX, or the slides he went through were fascinating. And I didn't realise that it finished that 1,000-kilometre journey with 12 or 15% battery left. And he said, oh, we stopped at 1,000 kilometres. I'm guessing that's because the PR people said that was the number they were going for. But I wanted to ask him afterwards, if he wasn't swamped by other people, why not go till it ran out? And that might be because they had this in mind, which he couldn't have told me last week because, you know, car companies don't really say very much. Although actually on stage, because it was at a mobility conference in a small room, he did share lots of details about this. Anyway, and I was allowed to take photos on my phone, and I will share them with you when I've got all them together. However, the EQXX just beat its own efficiency record. Last April, it went from Stuttgart to France. Now, it just did 1,202 kilometres driving from Stuttgart to Silverstone, the world-famous venue of Formula One, which is racing next weekend, after negotiating an autobahn which was closed, which needed a cross-country diversion. The Vision EQXX crossed the French border near Strasbourg and crossed across northern France at highway speeds to Calais, across the Eurotunnel, and then it went around the M25, lucky car, and went to Brackley. Now, Brackley is the home of Mercedes-Benz engines for Formula One and powertrains and power units. And so it stopped there. Then it went to nearby Silverstone, where it was met by Nick de Vries, the Formula E driver. He races for the Mercedes EQ Formula E team. And he didn't just take it around the Silverstone track to finish off the battery. He took it up to 140 kilometres an hour, which is its speed limit, and used up the rest of the juice in the packs. They weren't even going for a pure eco run. I love this. It's amazing. They weren't even like, okay, turn off the aircon, let's get the big number. They rinsed it round Silverstone, and it still got over the entire 1,202 kilometres on a single battery charge, 8.3 kilowatt hours per 100 kilometres. Heavy traffic, summer temperatures, aircon on, all the rest. 8.3 kilowatt hours per 100 kilometres, and it wasn't even an eco run. Now, what was interesting talking to the chap, well, I wasn't talking, I was listening to the chap from Mercedes-Benz last week at this conference who was talking about the Vision EQ XX, is all of the different things that, all the different design decisions they made in order to get ultimate efficiency out of this. So aero mirrors, optimized airflow with the bonnet outlets, an air control system so that the front end shuts off. And then when they want to open it up for cooling, they can. An air curtain around the car, and air breathers. Really, really smooth design, aero tires. That an active diffuser that comes out from the bottom of the rear of the car at speed. And it had a CD value of 0.17, like a total aero champion. It also had 95% drivetrain efficiency. And the areas that they worked on were the powertrain controller, the high voltage batteries, the electric drive unit, the drive shaft. And hearing this chap talk last week, was they weren't thinking about performance at all. It was all about efficiency and how that will guide future Mercedes-Benz. So that is so, so cool. They have minimal waste heat from the electric drive unit. And actually, their problem with this car isn't cooling it. It's actually heating it up, because that's it, it's so efficient. It's so good at getting rid of any heat, of which it only generates a little bit. It's got coolant valves and pumps to ensure the electric drive units are working at the optimum temperature to maximize energy usage. And they've got airflow management around the car, under the vehicle floor as well. This EQXX is a really, really interesting car that makes me really interested in the freedom that Mercedes give their engineers. After it did its 1,200 kilometre run, it left Silverstone, had a quick charge, because they did the drain it down to empty. It went to back to Brixworth, had an overnight charge, and now it's at Goodwood. Another car that's at Goodwood that I can't see, and I really want to see it. Polestar are also showing off. Hey, look, we'll take a break. On the way very soon, more cars at Goodwood from Polestar and Lotus, the new MG5, and how many EVs are Honda going to make that you can't buy? I'll tell you soon. Leave us turned on. Oh, by the way, if you want your ad-free feed, sign up to Patreon. You can support this show via Patreon. It's a great platform because they look after the billing and stuff like that. And it's all done for me. It costs me, I think, 5% of what you pay, because I've been with them so long. It's not that anymore, but I'm grandfathered in. It costs like 5%. The rest of the money comes to put this podcast on the air every single day, and you can fund it or just get your ad-free feed if you don't like the ads by signing up on patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. See you in a sec. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Polestar 5. That is the all-electric four-door GT. Oh, man, this is a gorgeous GT car. It looks like a traditional GT car. There's no engine under the bonnet. But it has got that shape, and they're showing off their development prototype in public from today and over the weekend at Goodwood. It's a high-performance electric four-door GT with sports car credentials, new mechanical platform that Polestar is working on, a unique bonded aluminium chassis, a prime factor in delivering the vehicle dynamics they want. In the UK, they're doing that. In Sweden, the team there are doing the electric powertrain, 800 volts. It's going to have 650 kilowatts of power. That's about 884 horsepower. And it'll be going up the iconic Goodwood Hill twice daily in the first glance group. If you are going, look out for that, because that Polestar 5 looks sweet. Lotus are going to be there as well, showing off the Eletra, the Emira and the Evija, one of the world's most eagerly anticipated performance cars, the Lotus Eletra. It's a hyper SUV, all electric SUV, bonkers performance that will carry the family. Also going to make its debut at Goodwood from today, marking the public premiere of what they call the ultimate three-car garage. And if you had the money and you like Lotus, you could put in your garage the Eletra, the Emira sports car and the Evija hypercar, a new generation of electric Lotuses. The Emira GT4 is going to be, the fourth car in the family, if you like, in the thick of the action as well, going up the hill at Goodwood Festival of Speed, driven by Jenson Button, the Formula One world champion from 2009. The Eletra, going back to that car, four-wheel drive, 100 kilowatt hour battery, 900 horsepower, and it will add 248 miles, that's 400 kilometres, in 20 minutes on a fast enough charger. 22 kilowatt AC charging, and it just looks like a beast. Not quite in the same league is this next car, and that's the MG. The MG5, that's the estate car, the wagon, also debuting at Goodwood. There's the new one, which has been on sale by MG Europe for a while. MG Europe and MG UK, different companies. So they get to decide when they bring the cars from China to their own markets. And MG UK finally bringing the new MG5 here. They're going to show it off. And it is just a slightly better version of the MG5, like the new ZS is a better version of the original one, which we've got. And we drive the original MG ZS. It's got vehicle to load on this new MG5. It's got the big screen. It's got the 10.25-inch widescreen infotainment system. It's got the new app that MG have got for your smartphones. And they're showing it off at Goodwood. Okay, let's move on and talk about less about cars that I can't see and I really want to. Let's talk about Honda starting construction of a car plant in China to make cars you can't buy. Well, I don't have any listeners in China, really, so that's why I can be sure of saying that. The Chinese joint venture GAC Honda starting construction today of a new electric car plant in Guangzhou. In addition, GAC Honda's electric SUV, the ENP1, has gone on sale in China today. So they do make electric cars at Honda. You think they only make the Honda E and nothing else, but they do, just for China. The new plant has an annual capacity of 120,000 pure EVs, says electrive.com. It opens in 2024. China Automobile News reporting last year that construction was due to start but was delayed. It will be only electric cars that Honda builds there. They've got joint ventures with GAC and Dongfeng, and they'll have 10 electric cars on sale in China by 2027, and probably none, you know, like or two from, you know, the US and maybe three in Europe, and they've got 10 in China. GAC Honda will have production capacity of 890,000 vehicles in 2024. And then you add in the Dongfeng joint venture, and that's Honda making 1.73 million vehicles in China. They've got electric car plants as well, together with the previously announced joint venture with Dongfeng. That's the Wuhan plant, which will make another 120,000 pure EVs. So yeah, Honda don't make EVs, right? No, they do, and Honda are about to make a lot of EVs, just not for anyone outside of China. Nissan are next in the news. They will supply their powertrains to McLaren Racing. Nissan and McLaren today announced a multi-year collaboration, and that's for their Formula E World Championship. McLaren Racing confirming their participation in Season 9 of Formula E when they bought the Mercedes team. So you think, oh, they're going to use Mercedes motors and Mercedes technology. No, McLaren bought the Mercedes team to go racing next season. It's easy, you just wear different sweatshirts, I imagine. They'll keep all the same people, you know, just change the branding a bit. They've bought a ready-made team from Mercedes, who are exiting Formula E, but they've done a deal with Nissan, who will be their technical partner, so adios, Merc. The new agreement with McLaren is in addition to Nissan's already involvement after buying the E-Dams team outright earlier. Was that earlier this year? I think it was. The new Renault Megane E-Tech is on sale today in the UK. It's going to cost you £36,000 to start with. And the first customer examples arrive later this year. No exact date on deliveries. This is going to go up against the Peugeot E208, the Citroën EC4, and cars like that. The newcomer has three different trim levels from Renault. Starts at $36,000 for the Equilibre model. Yeah. 18-inch alloys, LED headlights, aircon, heated steering wheel, heated front seats. It goes all the way up to the launch edition that starts at $40,000 before you tick any other boxes. 20-inch alloys, Harman Kardon sound system, 3D camera, 215 horsepower for all of them, 60 kilowatt hour battery for all of them, 280 miles of charge, 130 kilowatt DC fast charging. That's all very respectable for a family car like the Megane E-Tech. You know, we've owned two Renault Zoes. I love Renault. But here's a reason not to buy it. For some reason, they've had to make the car worse for the UK. You know that, if you've seen a picture, I've watched the reviews of the Megane E-Tech, whether it was the Electro Heads one or Fully Charged, all really good. And One of the great things about the Megane E-Tech is the big, what I call the Tesla screen, because they've just mimicked that, you know, big portrait screen in the car, all your infotainment. It looks great, massive, and it's brilliant. For the UK, they've got rid of it, and you've got like a little stubby dashboard screen. Now, why would you do that to UK buyers? Take away that lovely big screen and give them a little stubby one. I have been told the reason that the car has been re-engineered for the UK market, but as that doesn't come direct from Renault, and I don't want to annoy my contacts at Renault, slash get sued for getting it wrong, I can't tell you. But just to say, all of the press pictures that I've seen today, and even if I went online and I configured the Renault Megane E-Tech, they still put the left-hand drive European pictures. So if you go to buy this car and you look at the pictures and go, it's amazing, big screen, assuming that they could just put the wheel on the other side? No. If I was Renault UK, I would pretty quickly bin off all of those pictures that my website people had used from the European version, because you don't get that screen. And it's almost naughty to be using those left-hand drive pictures, because you don't get that car. Let's move on. Volkswagen have their first body in white rolling off the line at their Chinese factory in Hefei City in Anhui province. The first EV body in white coming off the brand new factory line that will eventually make 350,000 vehicles annually when it becomes fully operational at the end of 2023, or the second half of 2023. But a big moment there for that factory. And I'll finish off with this nice cute little story from Green Car Reports. Between longer range EVs and more charging infrastructure, the reasons for range anxiety are decreasing. Now, long-term listeners know I don't use that word. I don't use the R word. I don't believe in it. Anyway, you can have range anxiety if you can't find petrol or diesel. So range anxiety isn't a thing for electric vehicles, but I understand that, you know, the infrastructure hasn't been where it needs to be for a while, and people do worry and things like that. And according to a new study by the University of Geneva, fewer and fewer people are buying into the myth of range anxiety. 2,000 people, or 2,000 drivers, were studied in the United States and Germany, and many drivers underestimate EVs' ability to meet their daily needs. 30% of respondents believed an EV battery pack couldn't do what they needed to do daily, and when they were told what the average EV can do now, it was a case of not knowing the information rather than having range anxiety. They haven't got range anxiety when they found out that actually 90% of every trip can be completed with a vehicle with just 124 miles of range, or 200 kilometres. Even a base Nissan Leaf with its small battery on sale for like $25,000. A Chevy Bolt, now cheaper, $25,000. These are affordable cars. But, well, the Bolt's got 259 miles EPA, hasn't it? So, not high-end, not pricey, stack some of the state-level incentives and you're getting really good pricing, and the EV will do everything that you need. Range anxiety, not a thing. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com returns. Taking a little wee break for a while, but you can contact me anytime, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thank you to our premium partners of the podcast. That'll be you, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village, they're in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, also National Car Charging on the US mainland, Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, Octopus Electric Juice, make sure you've got your card. Have you got yours yet? Have you got yours? Make sure you do, because with one card, one map and one app, they make public charging simple. I got mine, I think the first week they launched it. And millbrookcottages.co.uk, five-star luxury cottages in Devon. I've been myself, loved it, check them out. Hey, have a good one, see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.